Hey guys, what's up? I'm Nathan here with the Legends Lovers Podcast. So glad to be bringing you another episode. This is the episode for May 26th. So I know I didn't upload an episode last Friday, and I think to limit the workload, I'm gonna just be uploading Tuesdays now instead of twice a week. I've heard stories of people, YouTubers uploading 14 videos a week for five different channels and all, and they got overworked and they had to slow down. And so I just want to, instead of putting out so much content and then within like maybe like 3 months, finding like that I'm only doing short videos about recent articles and stuff like that, I don't want that to be my issue. So I want to be putting out quality content that is still good, and I can have so much to talk about. Star Wars is such a vast universe, but I wanted to just, make it to where I have more time to upload stuff, and overall, it makes people more suspenseful, and they want to listen to it. I don't know, but I'm excited to get on with, the podcast series. I would love if people sent me an email at legendslovers@protonmail.com. A link is in the description, video description. And I would love if people sent me a voice message. That link is also in the description, I have found out. So go check that out. You can also go to anchor.fm/legendslovers and see just kind of all of my episodes. All the links, like the links to Spotify, Breaker, Radio Public, and Pocket Casts. You'll also see a faulty Google Podcast link. Sorry about that. Still trying to get it fixed. But just all kinds of stuff. I really would enjoy people going and checking me out. Share with your friends. If your podcatcher allows you to leave a comment, please leave a comment. But I want to go ahead and dive into what we're talking about. So basically, I have been watching the gallery, Disney Gallery, for Mandalorian, and I have seen YouTube videos about this, and I felt I was a little bit late to the game, but I recently watched episode 2. So originally I was going to make this episode on last Friday, but the person that I was trying to contact and get to co-host, because I really think this is a great opportunity to have a co-host and just kind of discuss it and have multiple people to discuss it. And have different viewpoints, but the couple co-hosts that I actually, two or two people that I was talking to, I asked them if they could do it. They weren't available, and then I needed to post this video because I don't want it to get old, and I think it's a great subject to talk about. So I wanted to go ahead and upload it with just myself today, and if people enjoy it and look at it, maybe I'll do another one. But I think that's kind of too much with the specific topic. So I want to go ahead and dive into this. So I'm going to play the audio clip right after this, and then I'll talk about it afterwards.
Prequels, I thought, were almost an impossible task. How do you tell the story that we've all grown up with, imagining who Anakin Skywalker was? You saw so many things in Phantom Menace that you just imagined, like the Jedi Council, and none of it really was what I had expected. But I know now that that's just like how creative George is. Like, he just sees it differently, and he's laying it down. And I love the lightsaber fight with Darth Maul, not because it's a lightsaber fight, but because George is so good at crafting why that fight's important every time. Like, the Obi-Wan Darth Vader fight isn't like the most wonderfully staged necessarily combat that you're ever going to see, but there's so much at stake. It's so meaningful when Obi-Wan dies that we all feel like Luke. In Phantom Menace, you're watching these two Jedi in their prime fight this evil villain. Maul couldn't be more obviously the villain. He's designed to look evil, and he is evil, and he just expresses that from his face all the way out through the type of lightsaber he fights with. What's at stake is really how Anakin's going to turn out, because Qui-Gon is different than the rest of the Jedi, and you get that in the movie, and Qui-Gon is fighting because he knows he's the father that Anakin needs, because Qui-Gon hasn't given up on the fact that Jedi are supposed to actually care and love, and that's not a bad thing. The rest of the Jedi are so detached, and they've become so political that they've really lost their way. And Yoda starts to see that in the second film. But Qui-Gon is ahead of them all, and that's why he's not part of the council. So he's fighting for Anakin, and that's why it's the duel of the fates. It's the fate of this child. And depending on how this fight goes, Anakin is gonna, his life's gonna be dramatically different. So Qui-Gon loses, of course. So the father figure because he knew what it meant to take this kid away from his mother when he had an attachment, and he's left with Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan trains Anakin at first out of a promise he makes to Qui-Gon, not because he cares about him. When they get Anakin, when they find him on Tatooine, he says, "Why do I feel like we've found another useless life form?" He's comparing Anakin to Jar Jar.
Excuse me.
And he's saying, "This is a waste of our time. Why are we doing this? Why do you see importance in these creatures like Jar Jar Binks and this 10-year-old boy? This is useless." So he's a brother to Anakin eventually, but he's not a father figure. That's a failing for Anakin. He doesn't have the family that he needs. He loses his mother in the next film. He fails on this promise that he made, "Mother, I will come back and save you." So he's left completely vulnerable. And Star Wars ultimately is about family. So that moment in that movie, which a lot of people I think diminish into just, "Oh, it's just a cool lightsaber fight," but it's everything that the entire three films of the prequels hangs on, is that one particular fight. And Maul serves his purpose, and at that point died before George may bring him back, but he died. And that's showing you again how the Emperor is completely self-serving. He doesn't care, he's just a tool, and he's using people, and now he's going to use this child. That follows all the way through to the line which terrified me as a kid, when the Emperor tells Luke, "You, like your father, are now mine." And the idea when I was a little kid watching that movie of some evil person possessing my father, making him do things or making him be evil, was terrifying. That was like a thought that was horrible. Also, it's amazing when you watch Return of the Jedi that Luke has never done anything that I would call it like he's a bad character. He has like a tendency to be dark. And a lot of people wanted Anakin, "Oh, he should have been darker as a character." It's not true at all. I believed Luke would turn to the dark side. In Return of the Jedi, I believe that was on the table. I believe that he would kill the Emperor. And because of the way George arranged the story, I knew that was the wrong thing to do. When he's saying, "You know, you want your weapon, you know, strike me down, I am defenseless." He wants him to give into his anger. He wants him to give in his hate. And the fear, the structure that George has laid out in all the movies is coming to fruition now. And the only thing that's going to save him is not his connection to the Force. It's not the powers he's learned. It's not all these things that are an advantage to him. That's gotten him to the table. But what saves Luke is his ability to look at all that and look at his father and say, "No, I'm going to throw away this weapon. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let that go and be selfless." And he says, "You know, I am a Jedi like my father before me." But what he's really saying, and why we connect, I connect so powerfully to it, is like he's saying, "I love my father, and there's nothing you can do that's going to change that." And the Emperor can't understand that connection. Why wouldn't you take this? I'm offering you power of the galaxy. Why wouldn't you take this? And Anakin then in that moment has to decide to be the father that he's never had. He has to give up all the power of the galaxy and save his son. And that's the selfless act that he does in return for his son. And that's what saves him in turn. So the son said, the father said, the son. And it works out perfectly. And I draw that line all the way from Phantom Menace to Jedi. That's the story of Star Wars. Everything
so when he pops
else,
the helmet, you're saying when he pops the helmet off in that moment was part of the faded arc.
It's all part of the faded arc. It's all part of like why it works and why we care. It's not about X-Wings. It's not about all these, the things we decorate Star Wars in. It's important. It's part of the genius of it. But we soulfully react like we don't just want an action movie. We want to feel uplifted. And Star Wars is an adventure that makes you feel good. You know, it makes me feel like, wow, I want to be a part of that. So that's what I always go back to with Star Wars, is this selfless act and this family dynamic, which is so important to George, so important to the foundation of Star Wars. That's in us. And what I like about it is it is really saying there is a lot of hope out there, that we fundamentally want to be good people, that we can all be driven to do terrible things, but that we can persevere through selfless action. So George has this hopeful story, and it's something that he's reiterated most times I've seen him, you know, after we've been making things without him, is remember to make these stories hopeful. Remember to give that to kids because they really need it. And so that's just something to keep in mind. Did I bring us down?
I think
we're done.
Alright, so that's where the clip ends. I think there's like 3 minutes left. It's towards the last, I'd say it's like from the 10-minute mark to like the 4-minute mark of episode 2 of the Disney Gallery. And it's just, That statement right there is so amazing. Like, if you think about it, like, I saw one YouTuber, he just did a part section of the Duel of the Fates part, and then I see, you know, this other YouTuber do the section with the Darth Vader part and the connection there. And then I heard a podcast, and they talked about the whole thing as a whole, basically the audio clip that I just showed all of you guys. And it's mind-blowing. I think, honestly, there's a lot of things I could talk about, so I'm going to try to just kind of spit out what's coming in my mind right now. And I feel like I can listen to this 100 times and do a ton of episodes, but I feel like that'd be boring. So I'm just going to give you one episode and might run a little long, hopefully. And then we'll see what happens. But one thing I really do catch is Qui-Gon knew that, like, that he was, if he wasn't, like, the father figure, you know, the character, the person that Anakin needed to be with, Anakin probably wasn't going to live up to the chosen one as they all expected. Now, he did live up to it in a different way by saving Luke and killing, with quotation marks, you know, quote, killing the Emperor. Now, we know that the Emperor is not dead, but he is alive. And so it's just kind of interesting, like, Qui-Gon knew that was if he died, he was the father figure. And I love this. This is Dave Filoni talking. If you guys don't know who Dave Filoni is, he worked on The Clone Wars and The Mandalorian. He practically wrote all of the episodes of The Clone Wars and directed some of them with George Lucas. And he's like George Lucas Jr. I mean, if you really think about it. And so that's one thing. It was just really cool to get that from him. And but, like, one thing also is Palpatine knew, like, the battle at Naboo was pretty, it was lost. The Republic already won. Like, Darth Maul didn't have to be there. He could have left and gone on some other mission. Palpatine knew, though, that Qui-Gon Jinn was an obstacle that needed to be removed early. So he removed Qui-Gon Jinn with Darth Maul, while also removing Darth Maul, who could eventually damage Palpatine. That's one thing. He flew through apprentices. And that's one thing also I noticed in the Book of the Sith book. Though that is Legends, he does talk about how he, unlike all of his masters before him, he didn't care about letting the Sith, like, tradition live on. He wanted to live forever and carry it on just himself and not let it flow through his apprentice. So he eliminated his apprentices like he did with Dooku, and that's just one thing that's really kind of smart, genius about how Palpatine was created. But we also see that with Ahsoka too, is like, I know I'm going off on tangents here, but we see that Ahsoka, Palpatine knew that Ahsoka was an obstacle, and that if Ahsoka was taken away and the Jedi Council let her leave, that it could damage Anakin and help him move to the dark side. So that's one thing, is she left, and Anakin, I don't feel like Anakin realized, but he was hurt, like, it hurt him, and it hurt him, and that's one thing that I think we hear him in Rebels say, "You left me," and so, like, stuff like that, and it's just, Palpatine is genius. I mean, like, in a bad way, but he's genius. And that's just one thing that's amazing by the scene, is Palpatine, that's the one thing I get out of it. Palpatine realized that Qui-Gon Jinn was an obstacle and he was removed. Qui-Gon was ahead of all of them. And I really know I'm restating kind of what Dave said, but Qui-Gon was ahead of the Jedi Council. He was ahead of the Order itself, except for a select few. I mean, in Legends, there are several Jedi that are like Qui-Gon. They're called Altuses, I believe. Altuses Jedi. Like, Altus is their leader. I don't know if I'm saying it right. That's in the Karen Travis novels, Republic Commando. Go check them out. But the gallery, go check out that if you really want to replay it and replay it. Or you can replay my podcast over and over again. I really don't have a preference. But that's really wonderful. And then also, this connection to family and hope. And I feel like that's one thing people, I know there's a lot of hate and disgust over The Last Jedi. Personally, I loved the film. Don't stop the podcast. Don't freak out. If you hated it, okay. If you were about it, then that's okay too. But overall, I think that's one thing people had an issue with The Last Jedi is they didn't feel that family connection. Like, I mean, I think it was maybe a little bit there, but it kind of is a little bit distant. And that's one thing that I think I can recognize about The Last Jedi is that there wasn't a strong family. Like, it wasn't about family. It wasn't about hope. It was about teaching Luke and Poe a lesson before they died. You know, like, stuff like that. I mean, that can be a little irritating. I think it's Star Wars. We should accept it no matter what. And it shouldn't just be a good film because Rise of Skywalker fixed it. Rise of Skywalker shouldn't be a bad film because it had to fix all of Last Jedi's mistakes. I think Rise of Skywalker was a great movie. Again, going off tangents. But that's one thing. I love the connection between the son and the father. And the son saves the father. And the father saves the son because the father had a chance to be the father he could never be. And that's just a huge connection. And it's really monumental. And this overall is a really powerful realization. Oh my goodness, it's crazy if you think about it. And oh my gosh, it's just a lot to take in. Yeah, I mean, like, that's just a lot. So one thing also is, like, the fact that Palpatine, he said, you, like your father, are mine. And, like, I feel like I'm a little bit echoing what Dave said, but it is crazy. Like, the fact that he didn't make him evil. It wasn't like Darth Vader was evil. It was that he tried to be good. He tried to save the people he loved, Padme, his wife, his mother, but he couldn't. And so he resorted to things that might not have been the strongest. He was manipulated. He never did learn how to save Padme from dying. And then what I feel like what really pushed him over the edge was when Padme did die, there was no point in living anymore. Like, he had no reason to stay good. There was no motivation there. And that's what some people say, well, Darth Vader, Anakin became Darth Vader when he came to tell on the council or protect the chancellor. He became Darth Vader when he cut off Mace Windu's head. He became Darth Vader when he was when he was pronounced or known as Darth Vader. He became Darth Vader when he slaughtered the younglings. He became Darth Vader when he on Mustafar. He became Darth Vader when he put on the suit. I don't really think that any of those statements are true. I think he became Darth Vader when he found out that Padme died, and there was no purpose in staying good anymore. There was no motivation there. It was just, he was, I mean, I guess dead inside. I mean, but he didn't want to kill himself. I don't know why. He was more mechanical than he was human, as Obi-Wan would say. And it's just a very powerful thing to realize. And the fact that he came to terms with that is pretty cool, how George was able to connect everything. Some people don't do that exactly. It's just a lot. And one thing I keep coming back to is Anakin, he's left completely vulnerable when Qui-Gon dies. It's just, like, Star Wars is about family. And again, this has come back to The Last Jedi. But Anakin, I feel like, became Darth Vader when there was a lack of family. That was the whole thing. He he was based purely on attachment. Like, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that that's... The attachment is what got made him turn to the dark side. I feel like, partially, yes, that's what made him turn to the dark side. But I feel like it was the fact that he kept failing. You know, he failed Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon died. And he failed his mother. His mother died. He failed Padme. His wife died. He even almost... And that's one thing I feel like that Dave didn't say is he failed... He almost failed his son. His son almost died. And I think maybe inside his head, he was like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to fail my family anymore. And so I think that's one thing that's very powerful about what George created with Star Wars. And it's just this whole thing is food for thought. So I think I don't want to just go off and mumbling and whatnot and just not have it a fun entertainment episode. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to bring a little fun and Star Wars knowledge into people's lives right now. So if you want me to play the audio clip again and do another episode with co-hosts, I'm going to try to get co-hosts on the next episode. Just if you want me to do this again with other people, comment down below, leave me an email at legendslovers@protonmail.com, call me with a voice message. You might have to make an Anchor account. Hopefully that's not a problem. The links of those are both in the description of this video. If you don't check out the description, you might miss a little bit of the info. There's not a lot there, just links and a little bit of a description about what happens. But real quick, I want to go off on a couple tangents about the Mandalorian series. So we have just discussed the gallery, and this just amazing food for thought. Go check it out. I believe there were 3 episodes when I last watched it. I have not been able to get on Disney Plus recently. I think there might be 4 episodes by now, by the time this episode is released. But I want to talk about the cast. So if people of you aren't out in the world, not or just online, are not living in a rock, living under a rock. Some of you might say that there are strong rumors, or say like people are like, yes, it's 100% proven that Rosario Dawson is Ahsoka Tano. So I don't actually have an audio clip of Rosario Dawson talking about being Ahsoka Tano, but apparently people think that she is capable of doing it, and I think personally that Ashley Eckstein, I prefer the audio, the voice being the character. I really don't have a problem with Rosario Dawson doing it. I just want it to feel like Ahsoka. I don't want her voice, you know, to be drastically different. I don't want her look be her height, you know, and that's one thing. I really don't care. But then there's also been rumors of Temuera Morrison being Boba Fett in the new Mandalorian series. And honestly, if he is, I'm going to be so happy, because, like, honestly, Temuera Morrison is like my Jacob Fett, my Boba Fett. He redid the audio when they re-released Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. He did the audio for Boba Fett. And so he's also been Jango Fett. He's been all the clones in the early, the first episode, like, you know, 1, 2, and 3. And so that's one thing that's really been exciting for me. Like, I'm just excited because, you know, that's my man, you know, Temuera Morrison. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly or not, but I'm excited for his return. Also, Katie Sackhoff has been rumored to play Bo-Katan. So, fun fact, she actually voiced Bo-Katan in the Clone Wars and in Rebels. So, if you don't know her, she was like Pre Vizsla's right-hand man in the Death Watch. And then she took the Darksaber from Sabine Wren and Rebels. So that's one thing that's like, ooh, is she rumored to, or if she's rumored to be in The Mandalorian, that'd be super interesting, because, spoiler alert, at the last episode of The Mandalorian, I skipped 30 seconds, or, I don't know, at the last episode of The Mandalorian, we see the Darksaber. And so that's really exciting, because how did she lose the Darksaber? I don't know. You know, it's something interesting, and we can maybe get a little background on that. But it's exciting. I'm excited to see her. She can actually play the part. You know, she can look like Bo-Katan, so that's exciting. She can do it. Tamora Morrison, Boba Fett, Rosario Dawson, Ahsoka Tano. Some people also think that Tamora Morrison is going to play Rex, but he's going to be like, if you do the math, he's like 80 years old at this time. Because the accelerated aging. But one thing in Legends, and again, this is Legends lovers, I got to incorporate the Legends. But we see in Legends the Republic Commando series. So Hard Contact, 000, True Colors, Order 66, and the 501st. We see that Cal Skrata, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, is constantly searching for a cure to heal to the accelerating aging. And so he goes through a lot of lengths and tangents and things, scientists. And we don't know exactly how he does it. Originally, the author, Karen Travis, was going to release a 6th novel, maybe even a 7th novel. But the publisher and Disney and Lucasfilm shut her down, and she wasn't able to release her 6th or 7th novel. She wrote 5. And they're great novels. A little bit sad, but mostly good. It offers a different perspective on the Jedi and the clone troopers. A little bit of a perspective that we get a little taste of in Clone Wars. But it's a really neat book series. But it's the accelerated aging. And so basically, to connect that, what I was talking about, Captain Rex could have found the decelerated aging right after Rebels, or even right before Rebels, and he was old, but then he gets to live old for a while. You know, he was, what, 60s in Rebels? So that's just something to think about. But I'm excited to see The Mandalorian. It says fall, so I'm going to guess fall for me is September, but knowing Disney, they release The Mandalorian in November, so I think I heard someone say that it's rumored October. Call in or leave an email if I'm wrong, but I want to say that it's probably going to be October, because that's between November and September. So if I'm wrong, oh well. If I'm right, I don't know. Look it up. But my source is just to bring you some knowledge that you can think about, stew about, even check and see if I'm correct. But that's going to wrap up this video. So please call me, leave a message. At anchor.fm/legendslovers, or the link is in the description. I don't think you can tap on it and it'll send you there, but go ahead and copy it and paste it. I would love that. I'm also on Spotify, Breaker, Radio Public, Pocket Casts. So maybe you're listening to me on Breaker, but your friend listens to Radio Public. Go ahead and shoot them that link. All of the links are on anchor.fm/legendslovers. I am trying to get on Apple Podcasts. So if you have a bunch of friends who are Apple Podcasts listeners, I know personally that is my preference, Apple Podcast. So I'm trying to hound on that. I'm also trying to fix the Google Podcast link, contacting people, all that stuff. But you can also email me at protonlegendslovers@protonmail.com. I check that frequently. And so please, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If your podcatcher of choice allows you to leave a review, I got 2 rules for you. Please make it good. And if you have a problem, please, if you really want to leave a review, try to make it constructive criticism and not be like, oh, he just talks about blah, 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 you know. Just make it constructive criticism. Or if you don't want to leave a review, or you can't leave a review, email me, call me, whatever. Leave a message, and that would be awesome. So with that, like I end every podcast episode, and I will end every podcast episode, the Force will be with you always.